My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to have another teaching today, and we're going to be dealing with Philippians. We're going to go with a verse-by-verse study of the book of Philippians. So get your Bibles out and your papers out. We can really learn from these. I really do. I learn more than I do. I'm sure that most people even listening to me, but I learn a lot when I'm studying these epistles. The book of the Philippians, or the letter of Philippians, look, you've got to remember this. Now, one thing is that when Paul writes these letters to these churches, he's writing to believers. He's not writing to unbelievers. These people have already believed the gospel. They're grounded in the gospel. And this church is truly has been, and it's really going to be interesting. And you can see what difference it makes. We find that this Philippi is in Greece, and it's in the northeastern part of Greece, and this was a Roman town. It was a Roman town that was full of soldiers there that were totally the retirement village is what it is, a retirement village. So anyhow. Let's start. This is on Paul's second missionary journey, and when you think about that, Paul had to go totally the full length. He walked the full length of Turkey to get there, and then when he got there, he had another, I don't know how far it is, but quite a wide ways to get to Philippi. And you're talking about close to 600 some miles, or 7, maybe even 800 miles. I don't know for sure. Depends on where he started from. If he started from Jerusalem, it was could be 1,000 miles. It's just hard to understand how a person could make such a journey. But he did. He walked those miles. Philippi was in a province called Macedonia. And Macedonia was just kind of like a state, like we have Kansas or wherever you're from in the United States, and it's a big area as far as that's concerned. But it's in the northeastern part of Greece. And this also was the first time that Paul set foot in Europe, and this is the first time that the gospel is preached in Europe. When he wrote this letter, he wrote it in prison. He was in prison, and he was in Roman prison, and he wrote this in prison, and it was about 14 or 15 years after he had founded this church in prison. And he was writing this letter to thank them for their support that they sent to him to help him, and the encouragement they gave to him. And he also wrote this letter to warn them against false teachings. False teachings were mainly Jewish legalism. False teachings. So let's start off now with verse 1, and we can see that it was Paul. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, who are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Well, see, a bishop was just an overseer, and deacons were men in the church who worked in the church to help in the church. But there was just one. Firstly, the bishops was the pastor of the church, or an overseer. It wasn't a hierarchy that was established. And it says, verse 2, it said, Grace be unto you. Now, I'm going to be going over these things so that you know exactly what this word means, because this is tremendously important. And what it talks about is saying, grace, it means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That means that Christ did everything on that cross. When somebody asks you, what must I do to be saved? You just have to tell them not much you can do to be saved. In fact, there's nothing that you can do to be saved, because God did it all on the cross, and all you've got to do is believe it, see? And that's what we call the gospel. The gospel is believing what Jesus did for us, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. So that's what it means by grace, the unmerited favor. Paul preached the gospel of grace, and no one else did. Peter, James, and John didn't preach the gospel of grace. Only Paul did. It says, grace be unto you, and peace from God. Now, this is also a tremendous important thing because of the fact that most people don't understand. If you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you're never going to have peace with God. You have the wrath of God upon you. The world today is walking around with the wrath of God on top of them right now. But those people had the peace of God from our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ because they believed the gospel. And that's because that's what Jesus told them to do, to believe the gospel for their salvation. 3, it said, I thank God for every remembrance of you. He truly, truly loved these people, you know. And this was 14 or 15 years afterward. But, you know, when he heard the good news that they were totally involved in the gospel, it just made him just feel wonderful. And verse 4 says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Paul was a prayer warrior. He couldn't be with him. He was in prison, but he could sure pray for him. And that's what he did. A continuing prayer for them. And he was joyful the fact that they were continuing in the faith. Now look what it says here, verse 5. This is just neat as can be. For your fellowship is in the gospel from the first day until now. See, they haven't turned away from the gospel. And you won't turn away from the gospel when you believe it. When you truly believe it, that's when the Holy Spirit will come into you and live in your life. And there would be no way you would ever turn back. It just couldn't happen. Because God is living in you, and they were living in these people. And their lives were showing it. And these people were in they were in everything you can imagine. They didn't have a clue the God of this world, you know, none whatsoever. And paganism, word I was trying to hang up. But when after Paul dealt with them and talked with them and preached to them the gospel, they believed it. And God was keeping them. See, God was doing it. Now let me show you. When we keep talking about the gospel, I want to make sure you understand this gospel. So this, I know there's people who listen to me quite often. They may get tired of this, but I never get tired of showing where the gospel is. You see, this is the most important verse in the Bible, and you need to know this. See, and this is the only place that I know of so far where it really, really explains it perfectly. And that's why Paul wanted us to believe the gospel. Because when you believe the gospel, this is fulfilling the word of God for you, for your life, for eternity. Let's look at chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's look at verses 1. Now, he's writing this to the Corinthian people. This church that's already believed the gospel. It says, moreover, brethren, he calls them brethren because they're believers. I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, it's the gospel. And I preached unto you which you also received and by which you stand. See, they believe this gospel and they stood on this gospel. And it also says what? Verse 2, by which also you are saved. This is salvation for the church today. And it's just wonderful. It's wonderful. Okay, and it tells you, but this is by which you are saved. But there's an if here. It says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Unless, what he's trying to say is that this is a belief that's not head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge that you will never, ever turn your back on. And because God won't give you that Holy Spirit unless you believe it. You see, but when he does, you'll never back away from it because God will be living in you. It says, so I've delivered you first of all, that you also receive. Paul received this directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:11, write that down. We're not going to go to it right now, but it just says that he didn't get the gospel from man. He wasn't taught it by man, but he got it by a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is where it came from, directly from the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ascended Savior. Gave him the gospel for this church, the body of Christ. And here it is. For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, and if he was buried, and that he rose from the dead, that's salvation, and that's called the gospel. And if you believe the gospel, this gospel, see, that's what salvation is. Now, let me show you, let's turn to the second most important verse, and it answers a lot of other questions. Turn to Ephesians, go to the right, to Ephesians. You go to Corinthians, and then you go to Galatians, and then you go to Ephesians. And look at verses 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel, see, the word of truth, the gospel of what? Of your salvation. So when you heard the word of truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you have to believe this gospel, see, of your salvation, what happened to you? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means Christ will be living in you. And you see, when you got God living in you, your whole life is going to change. You see, everything changes. In 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, we become a new creation. Old things will pass away, and all things will become new. And that only happens when you're sealed with that Holy Spirit. See, you've got God living in you. And everything changes in your life. All your priorities change. Before, my priorities were many things, but now my only priority is get this gospel to people so that they can be saved. That's my number one priority. It wasn't beforehand because I didn't even know the gospel. My whole life, I've been in the church all my life and never was taught the gospel until a man by the name of Les Feldick gave it to me. And when he did, I believed it, and it didn't take long. And I couldn't imagine how I could have missed it. But this is so wonderful, this verse. We'll take a glimpse of it. We could go for half an hour just on this, but let's look what it says. He was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance. What an inheritance. We have a tremendous inheritance in heaven. God has, see, we're never going to die. The second that the old body dies, you're going to be in heaven with the Lord. And you're going to have an inheritance there that is beyond your imagination. It says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who's the purchased possession? We are. God paid a price, to pay for our sins, to buy us back out of our old sin nature, get rid of it. He paid the price for our salvation on that cross. And to the redemption of that. In other words, until we are redeemed and take back the home, our home now is in heaven, see. And God did it all. He paid the price. And because of that, we have salvation. Now let's go back to the text. We're in Philippians, and we're in chapter 1, and we're just talking about verses 5. About the gospel. Now just look at verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What is this good work he performed in us? He showed us the gospel. He died on that cross to pay for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead, see. And he performed, and he's going to perform this salvation. He gave it to us. He's going to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that reminds me of a verse that y'all are going to show it to you. What did I say? That God's going to keep you until the day He takes us away, or the day we die. Let's turn to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We got to go to the right, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians, just a few pages, and we're going to look at chapter 5. And I just told you that He's going to keep you. It's not you. We do nothing. He saves us. We don't add nothing to it. We just believe the gospel, see. And then He's going to keep us until He comes back in the rapture, see. Or we die. And here's what look what it says here in verse 23. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. If anybody wants don't believe, once saved, always saved, this is the verse to show them. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That means totally, see. "And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." He's going to preserve our whole spirit and soul and body, preserve us blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when is that? That's the rapture, or we die. Look what 24 says. "Faithful is He." Who's He? God. He that called you, who also will do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? He does it all. We do nothing. There's nothing that we can do for our salvation except believe the gospel. That's salvation for the church, and it should be salvation for every church in this nation. There should be only one church, and that should be the body of Christ. There shouldn't be Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics and Assembly of God churches. No. There should be just one, and that's the body of Christ, and we've all saved by believing the gospel. That's what it should be. God didn't expect it to be umpteen churches. It's just that's what we're supposed to do, believe the gospel, and He takes it from there. But anyway, I thought that was wonderful. Okay, let's go back to the text. And we're in Philippians, and we're looking at chapter 1. And let's just look at verse 7. "Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds," of course, see, he's in prison, "and in the defense and confirmation of" what? The gospel. You see, that's why he's there. It's all he for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. "Ye are all partakers of my grace." See? His unmerited favor. But what he's in jail for is because of the gospel. See, and he went through everything for us. It's just beyond your imagination what he went through for us. It was hard to comprehend. And so, you know, we can just praise the Lord that we have this gospel. Okay, let's look at verses 8. "For our God is my witness, how greatly I long, how I long after you in all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." When's the day of Christ? That's the rapture. That's when Jesus comes. You see, Paul was thinking without any... He always was thinking that Christ was going to come back in his lifetime. You see, it's kind of like me. I'm just thinking it's going to be in my lifetime. But, you know, we don't know. We don't know. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We just go back to the left. Ephesians chapter 1. Just a little ways here. And we're going to look at chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 17. It says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Let's look at verse 18. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. See? You see, and He wants us to have wisdom and revelation, and we want to be enlightened. You see, and we are that when we believe the gospel, because we have God living in us. That's Christ living in us. That's the Holy Spirit. They're all one. If Jesus is in you, God's in you and the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's in you, because they're all one. And when He gets in your life, and He gets involved in you, and He's living with you, He opens your eyes of your understanding. You're going to see things in this Scripture you've never seen before in your life. He's going to give you the ability to understand the Word of God. You see, the average person, they can't. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Go back to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verses 14. We were talking about how the God, Holy Spirit, is in us and gives us the ability to understand the Scriptures. But see, before you believe the gospel and receive the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way you receive the Holy Spirit, you see. You can't pray for it. You can't walk an aisle for it. You can't buy it. You can't do anything for it except believe the gospel. And then when you believe the gospel, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But look what we were beforehand. It says, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, for all my life, I never was taught the gospel. And I've been to all kinds of different churches and never taught the gospel. But as soon as I believed the gospel, God opened my eyes and gave me a mind that I never could believe. It's like He gave me 100 more IQ points when I started teaching or studying the Bible. It's just beyond my imagination. And He'll do the same for you. And we can do the things that Paul talked about when you believe the gospel. So that's why we couldn't beforehand, because we didn't have the Spirit. And without the Spirit, a person's not even saved. And I got to prove that, don't I? Turn back to Romans. Turn to Romans chapter. Let's see, chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verses 9. I said that you're not saved if you don't have the Spirit. Look what I said, and you only get the Spirit by believing the gospel. We just saw that. Verse 9, it says, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, see. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, does He dwell in you? If He doesn't, you're not saved. Look how it says, If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You see, I went to church all my life. I thought I was a good Christian my whole life. But yet I never had the Holy Spirit until I believed the gospel. And when it came on me, it came on me the second I believed too. I was studying the Bible, and I had a horrible hard time studying it. 10-20 minutes at the most, and I didn't understand anything. But when I believed the gospel, and I told God I believed the gospel for my salvation, He opened my eyes, and 10 hours later, I was studying the Bible. 10 hours. And I've been doing that every day since. From 8 to 10 hours a day, I'm involved in studying the Bible. You know, it's just fantastic what God can do for you. Let's go back to the text. Go back to the text and look at verses, I think it was 10, that you may approve the things which are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, till the rapture comes, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. The fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What are the fruits of righteousness? We got to look at this. This is what happens. We have when we believe the gospel. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and He gives us. Now let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Go back to the left to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verses Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verses 22. But Galatians 5, verses 22, and look what it says. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, this is what happens when you believe the gospel and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of this of doing so. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against all these things, there's no law. And boy, that's the truth. I mean, just think about it. As soon as I believed the gospel, I was, it says joy up there, and it was the most joyful thing that I could ever imagine happened to me. And it says love at first, and that is true. My love for mankind and people, and even my wife and my family, was just, it's just magnified. And then we had peace. That's the first time that I truly knew I was saved. Before I thought I was, but now I know I am. And I, because I've got God living in me, and that's because I believe the gospel, and He sealed me with the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're talking about, the fruits of righteousness. The fruits of righteousness. Now, this we're going to go on to, in chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 12. So we go back to the text, and we're going to look at verses 12. But I think we probably, this will be the last one, because then my time will be up. It says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things that has happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. See, he's in prison because of the furtherance of the gospel. And we're going to find out how wonderful he is able to do in prison, that he actually proclaimed the gospel in prison, and it was spread all over the country. And we're going to start there in our next session. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much for this time that we could study your word and just be with us and open our minds and our hearts that we can understand your word. I pray that every person would come to the knowledge of the gospel for salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.